Morning Watch. Fighting the good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith, and loving the Lord's appearing in order to receive the reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. Week 1. Fighting the good fight. Thursday. Related verses. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers in a pure conscience, while unceasingly I have remembrance concerning you in my petitions night and day. Longing to see you, remembering your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Having been reminded of the unfeigned faith in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded dwells also in you. For which cause I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer evil with the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the times of the ages, but now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who nullified death and brought life and incorruption to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, for which cause also I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard my deposit unto that day. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God gave to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Related reading. When Paul was writing 2 Timothy, he was fully aware that the churches were declining. However, because he was one who laid hold on the promise of eternal life, he was not discouraged or disappointed. He had something within him that had never changed: the eternal, uncreated, incorruptible life of God. No matter how the environment may change, this eternal life remains the same. Because he himself was encouraged in the life of God and not disappointed by the situation, Paul wrote the second epistle to Timothy not only as an encouragement and strengthening to a younger co-worker, but also as an inoculation for the entire body of Christ against the decline of the church. The eternal life according to which Paul became an apostle is incorruptible and unchanging, for this life is actually the process triune God himself. Because Paul was indwelt by this life, not even the whole Roman Empire was able to prevail over him in its dealings with him. Paul was strengthened by the process triune God as life. The life mentioned in 2 Timothy 1:1 includes all the 8 basic elements of the inoculation. This means that eternal life includes a pure conscience, unfeigned faith, the divine gift, a strong spirit, eternal grace, the element of incorruption, the healthy word, and the indwelling spirit. If we have this life, which is actually the process triune God, we have a pure conscience, unfeigned faith, and all the other provisions of the divine inoculation. The eternal life of God is given to all believers in Christ and is the main element of the divine grace given to us. This life has conquered death and will swallow up death. It was according to the promise of such a life that Paul was an apostle. This life and the incorruption that is its consequence have been brought to light and made visible to men through the preaching of the gospel. Life is the divine element, even God Himself, imparted into our spirit. Incorruption is the consequence of life's saturating of our body. This life and incorruption are able to counter the death and corruption brought in by the decline among the churches. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, "I know whom I have believed." What the apostle believed was not a thing or a matter, but a living person, Christ, the Son of the living God, who is the embodiment of divine grace and eternal life. The eternal life in him is powerful. It is more than able to sustain to the end the one who suffers for his sake, and to preserve him for the inheritance of the coming glory. To confront the death, corruption, and confusion in the church's decline, the eternal life on which chapter 1 is based, the divine truth emphasized in chapter 2, and the Holy Scripture, highly regarded in chapter 3, are all needed. The eternal life not only swallows up death, but also renders the life supply. The divine truth replaces the vanity of corruption with the reality of all the divine riches. And the Holy Scripture not only dispels the confusion, but also furnishes divine light and revelation. Hence, in this book, the apostles stress these three things. Christ is eternal life to us. If we were not in him, Christ would still be eternal life in himself, but he would not be eternal life to us. Because we are now in him, to us, Jesus Christ is eternal life.